You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message from Pastor Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. If you would, just turn and greet each other and wave, fist bump, whatever you're doing. God bless y'all. Please be seated. The Lord has spoke to my heart here recently in some wonderful ways. There's one particular song that he brought to my attention over and over again this weekend about our project and what's going on. And I'm going to keep you in suspense. Andrew's going to learn it. I sent it to him, and he'll sing it to you in a couple of weeks. And so I'll share some more details with you then. But we praise God. Some additional funds have come in, and we're thankful for that. And amen. And how God's working and what he's doing. And it's an exciting time. I've got a praise to share. One of our family members called, and their son has just volunteered for the Army and was going back after Christmas for training, and she wanted me to check him out on his salvation. So I called him. He was in Connecticut, and I shared with him and witnessed to him, and he gave his heart and life to Christ over the phone and thanked me for calling him, and praise the Lord for him wanting to defend our country and also for him giving his heart and life to Christ. Can I hear an amen? And so that was exciting. I told him to share it with his family at Christmas. I'm sure he did. And that was an exciting time as well. Next week, we're going to be having a concert with Three Bridges. We love Three Bridges. They've been coming for years and years. They used to be the Imperials, and they sing Southern gospel and other things. And they're just a blessing to us, and we're excited about that. If you're our guest today, we want to invite you, if you would, to tear off the little form there in the cell and fill that out and turn it into the offering plate so we can connect with you and get to know you better in a great way. And also, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, if you've been coming for a while and you're kind of wanting to be a part of our fellowship, wanting to join, or maybe if you're from up north and you want to come under watch care, We want to invite you to fill this out, too, and bring it down with you, and we would use this to help you record that decision. So that's going on as well. Sanctity of Life Sunday's coming up in January 23rd in a couple of weeks, and please be in prayer about that. Our Supreme Court, for the first time in a long, long time, since 73, is a pro-life Supreme Court, and hopefully they will do what they need to do to stop the killing and stop the murder of all these sweet, precious, unborn babies. God says that he hates the death of the innocent. Today, the seniors are going to the worship at the lodge this afternoon, so if you'd like to come be a part of that, just see Nick. Nick's right there. See him afterwards, and he'll be glad to help you with that. We're still receiving funds for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and for the International Mission Board. Our mission board and our mission group, our 4,700 missionaries across the world, are some of the most courageous, efficient missionaries in the world. And they're going into, 93% of them are going into the unreached areas with less than 2% Christianity. And so I want to encourage you to help with that and be involved with that. And then our life groups, if you're not a part of a life group, I want to encourage you to get involved with one. It's a great way to meet people, get close to people in the life of the church, and a great way to have fellowship. And they would love to look after you and help care for you. And they can do that as well. God bless you. Thank you.
Let me please over the offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning for all the many gifts that you bestow upon us each and every day. Father, we're especially thankful this morning for the praise team bringing us into a spirit of worship. We thank you for them. We thank you for the message that you laid on Pastor's heart, Father. Please give us a mind and a heart to understand it and put it into play. Father, we love you and praise you, and we ask that you fill this room with your Holy Spirit, Father, and make this a holy time. Father, we love you and praise you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd like to release at this time our Children for Children's Church. And you never know, we never know when we're being watched, or I know we're all thinking we're watched all the time now, and that used to be paranoia, and now just because you're paranoid, it doesn't mean people aren't watching you. But I guess it was two Sundays ago, we had a homeless person that came to the service, and they asked for a room afterwards. And so Nick mentioned it to me, and we were standing right in front of our Apple phone that we broadcast the service with over the internet. And we didn't realize that it was still taping, broadcasting, and all that. And so we stood in front of it. Thank God that we had a godly response and that we were compassionate. I mean, it could have been something different if, you know, oh, gosh, you know, here we go again or whatever. But, how long does she need it? And, you know, is this, what's she going to do after this? And, you know, so it was a compassionate response. But then Andrew came up to us and said, Pastor, the phone's still on and everything you and Nick discussed and standing here was sent, you know, to YouTube and everywhere. I thought, oh, okay, praise God. But in actuality, we're all being watched all the time by God, you know. There's never a time you're not under His surveillance. And 24/7, and in fact, it goes further than the outward words you say and actions you do. He's surveying your heart and your thoughts. And so everything is there. He is much more pervasive than Google. Can I hear an amen? And so praise God for him. Be aware of it. Be aware of your accountability to him in everything you say, think, and do. Today I want to talk to you about, the Lord laid this on my heart a couple of weeks ago, a message on the three types of people that are in church life. And more than that, even these are the three types of people in the world today. If you took the, whatever our population is now, 7.5 billion with a B, whatever, or eight, if it's eight, or wherever it is now, all of humanity, and you put us all in one place, and they said we could each get one square yard, and we could all stand in the city limits of Jacksonville, the largest landmass city in the world, except for Altamira in Brazil, but we won't get into that. But it's recorded as the largest because Duval County is Jacksonville, and Jacksonville is Duval County. They made the county their city limits. So all of humanity in Duval, and all of us in a square yard standing there. And by the way, that completely pops the myth of overpopulation. Can I hear an amen? We don't need to exterminate any human beings. We don't need to depopulate the world. We've got plenty of room. We're just not using it effectively. And so, in many cases. So, if you take us all, we put us there, you could divide that county into three areas, and you could put all of us right now at this point, this moment, into one of those three areas, and we'd be one of these three people. If you've got your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2:12 through chapter 3, verse 8. And let's look at the passage together. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised or discerned. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man or judged by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. You are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, well, I'm of Paul, or, you know, I'm of this church, and another says, I'm of that church, I'm of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God has caused the growth or given the increase. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So in this passage, there's actually three different types of people that are in church life. Now, across the nation, the nature of church to church will be different, and it'll be based upon the constituency of these three groups. If the church is controlled, by the way, Kay's not offended, she has to leave, just in case. But the churches that are controlled by the natural group will be very, very worldly. They'll be very sinful. They'll have a lot of these characteristics we're going to look at in them. The ones that are filled with baby Christians, new Christians, they'll have another characteristic. And then the ones that are filled with the spiritually mature, those that know and love God and obey him and listen to him, they'll have a completely different nature. And the basis of the constituencies of these, and of course, nearly all churches are a mixture of one way or another of all these things. So let's look at it together and work our way through the passage together. First of all, we see in the beginning of the passage that it talks about the spirit of the world and the spirit of God, and that we might know the things freely given to us by God, and those come from the Spirit. Which things also we speak with words taught, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual truths or spirit.
Or destroyed.
And then Jesus basically says to him, we speak the things that we do know and testify to the things that we have seen. And then he says, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, this young man asked me, he said, is that baptism? And some have taught that and some believe it. I don't believe it. I believe that Jesus was talking about, but in the context of that chapter, the natural birth, where we, what do we say when a woman's about to give birth? What happens just before that? Her water breaks. And we were all waterborne. In the context, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The context of it is this very thing. Water birth is that flesh birth, the physical birth. And then spiritual birth is when we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ and we become a true believer. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not a believer. It's initial. It's when you get saved. It's not a second blessing later. It's how you get saved. And in fact, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. So we see this idea of the natural person, the waterborne person. And of course, that for, through the years, y'all, some of you here have recited this cliche with me, born once, die twice, born twice, die once. Let's say that together. Born once, okay, oh, you come with me now. Born once, die twice, born twice, die once. If you're born once as the natural person, whether they're in church life or out in the world, if they stay in their natural condition, they will die twice. They will die physically on earth, and then they will die in hell. They'll go to hell and be in eternal death in hell. If you're born twice, physically, flesh birth, water birth, born once, and then you're born again, spirit birth, then you only die physically and you will never die again. We've had a couple of our members die recently in the last couple of weeks. And one of the families, I went over and I visited with them and prayed with them. And his sweet wife, you know, and I had the opportunity to share with him where he is now and what he's doing and who he is now in the nature of God. And it was such a comfort to her. She said, really? And I said, yes, he is. When we see Jesus, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And I had the opportunity to describe this to her. And so here we see in this first category, the natural person. And you and I all were natural persons. In fact, there may still be in front of me right now some natural people. People not born of God, not born of His Spirit. And that could be the case. And you may say, you know, why is my husband, why does he never seem to get it? Or my wife, why does she never seem to get it? Why can we not have a spiritual communion together? Well, maybe they're still natural. Maybe they're still natural. And so we see this. Let's look at some characteristics of the natural. He describes a few of them here. But a natural person or man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. First of all, we see that the natural person doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. And then secondly, because they're foolishness to them. If you'll look with me just a couple of chapters over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So it cuts both ways. To the natural person, spiritual things are foolishness. To the natural person out there, especially the scoffer, the skeptic, they could be the intellectual, the PhD. And they say, oh, I'm evolution. There is no God. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing on earth. That is the definition of foolishness. But they would look at us and say, look at all of y'all this morning wasting your time. Why did you go to that building? Why did you go in that sanctuary? Why did you spend that time singing? Why did you give, God forbid, you gave money there? And why listen to someone stand and lecture you every week? That's foolishness. Another thing, and I've thought about it from like the outsider or the lost person, the skeptic, baptism, especially biblical immersion. We take adults sometimes, grown people, and we put gowns on them and we bring them in this water and we immerse them in front of the rest of us. And I know through the years, one of the big controversies with that for some of the women has been their perms. Pastor, I just got saved this week. You know, maybe sometimes I've led them to Christ, or someone on visitation or one of you have led them to Christ. And now they want to be obedient as soon as possible, which you should. And they say, you know, I've got this perm and I paid like $100 for it. Or how much do perms cost now? Is that about right, $100? Why do they call it permanence when they're so temporary? I don't know. But so you think about this woman. She just spent $100 to get her hair curled because it's straight. And here she is, and she's coming in the water, and she's being dunked down in a gown in obedience to Christ. And the lost person said, that is the most foolish thing I've ever seen. And yet from heaven, God says, this is the wisest thing I've ever seen. We had a couple years ago when I first came to the church, John and Sue, and Sue did not have the typical inner ear membranes that all of us had. And her head being immersed underwater would kill her. She had never had her head underwater in a pool, in a tub, in her entire adult life. They gave their life to Christ. I was out of town. They were talking to a staff member, and I was new here. And the staff member said, oh, Pastor Orman, he'll work with you. You know, he'll sprinkle you or something. You know, he'll work out something. And so when I talked to him, they came to see me. I said, I can't work out. I can't work a deal with you. I'm sorry. In the New Testament, baptism is immersion. That's all it is. That's all it was. To dip under, to plunge under, to emerge, to immerse. I'm sorry, but either you obey him in that or not. It's not a salvation issue. You can go to heaven unbaptized, but it is an obedience issue. And there's a growth grace that comes with it. And I've seen it through the years. People that are stagnant in their Christianity got saved years ago, never got baptized, and then they obey the Lord and their life takes off. And so she said, I'm going to just trust God. She packed her ears with wax, and she, her husband, came in the water, and what a glorious day it was. And we celebrated that here years ago. Some of you remember that. And yet, for that woman, it was like a life-threatening event just to do that. But the lost world, the natural person, says that's foolishness. That's foolishness. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. And we say amen. And we say thank God for people who obey Jesus no matter what. I was so proud of them, absolutely proud of them, and their stepping out in faith. And that was a glorious baptism. But they don't accept spiritual things, and spiritual things are foolishness to them. And God says, well, your wisdom is foolishness to me. I mean, we've rehearsed this many times, but I want to do it again for sake of illustration. Evolution. And brilliant men, some of the Mensa geniuses among us, have spent their lifetime in laboratories trying to create life to prove that there is no intelligent creation of life. Is that the craziest thing you've ever heard? You know, we want to create life in the laboratory to prove that God didn't do it. And then God's saying, well, quit using all the elemental materials that I've loaned to you. Start from scratch with nothing, like I did. And so we see this idea, spiritual things are foolishness, can't receive them, and they can't understand spiritual things. Look again in 1 Corinthians 21 through 24. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those that believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, Greek asks for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Then we see also they are motivated by the spirit of the world. In 2:12, we see this. In chapter 2, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. In Matthew 16, beginning in verse 21, that from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's, the things of God, not of men. One of the things about the natural person, they view church life, if they're in church, as a mechanistic organism or organization. It's machinery. It's organization. It's the outward things you see. They cannot identify with the spiritual purpose because it's not in their heart. And so it's being seen at church. It's being recognized. It's, as Adrian Rogers used to say, being a main cog at the synagogue. And the idea of being seen and standing out, it's wanting positions and wanting authority and wanting control and a lot of these things. It's not the deep, spiritually driven things. And then it's the surface of it. You know, one of the things we have to be able to discern is the spirit of things. And that goes back, one of the biggest things, Rick Warren said, if you want to choose your crowd, choose your music. And a lot of times we get hung up on the music we grew up with, and that's the only good music. Now, I grew up on hymns, and I love them. But I love worship courses, too. I love all, if I can sense God's presence in it, whatever it is, anthems, whatever it might be, I mean, I've struggled to sense God's presence in rap music, Christian rap music, you know. But, you know, if it reaches somebody, maybe, I don't know. But we see that the idea of it is the spirit of it. Can you sense God's spirit? Can you sense the presence of the Lord? Is he speaking to your heart? Now, one of the things in defense of us liking different types of music is our heart music. It's the music you know well. And for some, if you've sang hymns for 60 years, 70 years, you know them, and that's your heart music. I mean, that's what's in your heart. But really, it's not those things. It's not whether it's this or that. It's not those. Those are the mechanistic, organizational type things. It's the spirit of it. And the idea of a natural person, in a natural person and what they want and what they desire. Number four, they are motivated by the spirit of the world. And then number five, they are steeped in human wisdom. In James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Here's the definition of godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. Here's the characteristics of earthly natural wisdom and godly spiritual wisdom in James in chapter 3. And we see those adjectives that describe it. We see the descriptions of it. Jealousy, bitterness, selfish ambition, arrogance. You know, my way's the right way, my way or the highway. And the wisdom that comes from down from above is not like that. It's not earthly. It's not natural. It's not depressive. It's not oppressive. It's not demonic. And we see that there's not the selfish ambition and there's not disorder with it. The wisdom from above is pure, peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits. It's unwavering and without hypocrisy. It's true blue. It's true. It's consistent. You can depend upon it. The wisdom from above. And so we see this, and then we look next at the spiritual person in the chapter, verses 15 and 16. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, or judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So the spiritual person appraises all things. They are discerning. They examine. It's not a matter of condemnation judgment. It's a matter of discernment. It's a matter of being able to see the circumstances and understand the background of it, understand where it's coming from. How on earth can our nation look at the last election in 20 and half of it say one thing about it and half of it another? And it not even really half on the other. How can you not see what happened? Discernment. And truthfulness. Truthful people see truth. Deceitful people are deceived. The easiest person in the world to con is a con man. And oftentimes, those that don't have pure hearts and pure motives. The spiritual person appraises all things. And we see in 1 John a promise from God on the assistance with that. 1 John chapter 2 in verses 27 and 28. And as for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. He has anointing. The Holy Spirit of God teaches us. The spiritual person is indwelt by the Spirit of God. They're born again. They have the Holy Spirit within them. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Spirit of God? And the Spirit of God lives in them and speaks to them and directs us and guides us, instructs us. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have been approached in your lifetime, or maybe you've been online and someone's been saying, you know, send me your social security number because I've got $1 million here for you, or whatever, you know, some kind of thing. Or it's more like, I've got your rebate check and we just need to clarify it. And yet something in your spirit rises up and says, no, no. Of course, we're getting more and more experienced with that anyway in the method of it. But in discernment, or a person approaches you and they want to give you a deal or be involved with you, maybe you're at a used car lot, or maybe you're buying something somewhere, and your spirit starts kind of fluttering a little bit, and the Spirit of God starts whispering to your heart, you start getting thoughts, something's not right here. That's the discernment. And he says, my spirit will teach you. My spirit will instruct you. My spirit will guide you. Then we see that the spiritual person is ultimately not judged by anyone. And the Apostle Paul says that in our passage here, when it talks about the spiritual person. And yet he says, he who is spiritual appraises or judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But to me it is a very small thing that I should be examined by you or by any human court, said the Apostle Paul. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Ultimately, God is our judge, not people. So don't fear people. Years ago when I was pastor, the president of the pastor's conference for the Florida Baptist Convention, one of my speakers was Jerry Falwell. And at the time, Liberty University was in like $50-75 million worth of debt. And they had IRS was on top of them because of the things he had said politically. And they had set up an office there on Liberty University campus. The students would say, there's the IRS office on campus with a half a dozen agents there pouring through everything. And Jerry spoke, and he talked about discouragement. He talked about anxiety. But then he said this. He said, don't be afraid of anybody. They can't eat you, you know. And what's funny is he fasted twice, two 40-day fasts that year, and a donor came up and gave them $50 million and paid off all their debt. And he said, God comes through. God is faithful. God will take care of things. And so we see here that he says that the spiritual person is ultimately just judged by God. And ultimately, he's the judge of all of us. And then the spiritual person confesses their sin. We see, and they also have the mind of Christ. The person has the mind. The mind of Christ is the indwelling presence of God. In Acts 2:38, in Scripture, it says this, "And Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit of God living inside of every born-again believer on earth, however hundreds of millions, or we know that it's a majority position, broad is the way that leads to destruction, few there be that go therein, narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, few there be that find it. But of the hundreds of millions, or if there's a billion, or if there's 2 billion believers on the earth, that the mind of Christ in them is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God guiding us, instructing us, helping you understand this message. I know I tried to read the scriptures when I was playing basketball and college my freshman year, and I wasn't born again yet. I thought I was a Christian. I had been baptized in church, grew up in Southern Baptist Church, had fallen away some. And I tried to read the Bible. It just didn't interest me. I had no interest in it. And then I got saved in a basketball gym at 18 years old. And then I couldn't get enough of it. And when I read it, I understood it. And it was exciting. Exciting. And so we see here that it talks about the spiritual person has the mind of Christ. And then the spiritual person confesses their sin. We're honest about our sins. Born again people, the spiritual person. And he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we confess our sins. Then we see the final person, the carnal person, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, babes in Christ. Sometimes babes in Christ, it says men of flesh, person of flesh. That is the flesh is another word for carnal. And the idea of the carnal Christian. And sometimes they're confused with the natural. But we see here that the babe in Christ, it's a different person. The carnal person, the babe in Christ, the fleshly Christian, is spiritually immature. They're a babe in Christ. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word so that you can grow thereby. Baby Christians need the beginning things. When I was 18 years old and I got saved, I just was so excited about everything and prophecy. I mean, at that time, Hal Lindsey came out with the late, great Planet Earth. I read that and I thought I was an absolute prophecy scholar after that. But I couldn't get enough of it. And I was reading everything, listening to everything that I could about prophecy, the excitement of it. And the idea of a baby Christian, are you a baby Christian? Well, you need to desire the sincere miracle of the word. You need to have daily devotion. You need to read the Bible on a daily basis. And as you read it, God will add to your spirit. He will add to your intellect. He'll add to your ability to live in this world and even to debate the spiritual things. So the carnal person is spiritually immature. The carnal person can't receive deep teaching. And that's why he says that I couldn't speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, babes in Christ. And I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able. A lot of times in preaching and teaching, there was years where I shared a lot of the Greek and the Hebrew and the definitions of words, and I really tried to go deeper in relationship to the messages. And I just felt like people weren't getting it when I talked to them. And finally, I realized it needs to be in the middle ground. It needs to be scriptural, but it needs to be understandable. It needs to be applicable where you can apply it in your life. And so really that became my goal in related to speak, to put it in the middle of the shelves, not on the very bottom, not on the very top, but in the middle, and to always for it to be scriptural, where you could take these verses home, you can read these things for yourself, you can study these, you could feed yourself, you can share these truths with your family. And so we see here that the carnal person can't go with the deep teaching, and then the carnal person is divisive and selfish. In this way, they're similar to the natural person. And if you look at the passage going on down, are you not still fleshly? For since there's jealousy and strife among you, are not fleshly. Are you not walking like mere men, mere people? For when one says, I'm a Paul, another Apollos, are you not mere men? Who then is Apollos? Who is Paul? Servants through whom...
Northwestern Palm Beach and Southeast Florida until 15 p.m. at
fastest-growing churches for years in the nation was Willow Creek, and they did a self-evaluation of their people, and they came out with a very critical evaluation of their church running tens of thousands of people, and they said, our people are not self-feeders. They're not studying the Word of God on their own. They're not feeding themselves. They're baby Christians, fleshly, carnal Christians at best. And that was their evaluation. And so you need to say, I'm going to take responsibility for my spiritual life. I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to allow God to feed me and instruct me and direct me. Now, understanding this can really help you with people. It can help you understand why they do what they do. If they're a natural person, they're going to do the things of the earth, the things of people. They're going to have a earthly outlook. Everything's going to be a balance sheet. It's going to be pros and cons. It's always going to be like that. The spiritual person will have faith, and they'll trust God, and they'll say, if God says it, it's going to happen, even though I can't see it. And to be honest with you, I've gotten to some of that point with some of even what we're doing in an aspect. And then the Lord, just in the last week, has just been incredibly intervening to reassure and to confirm. And, you know, we need to recognize what God is doing in our midst. And we need to say, Lord, I'm going to obey you. Even if I think I can't do this, maybe he'll call you to teach a life group or to work in one. Or to start some other ministry. Maybe he's laying something on your heart to do, and maybe it's just witness to a relative. I can't do that, Lord. I don't know enough. Well, if he's asking you to do it, it will happen, and if you'll obey him, you'll have the joy of it. And you'll experience the favor of his presence and his power and the joy of obedience in obeying what God instructs you to do. So today I want to ask, if you would, to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. If there are any here of the natural, if there's anyone here that's, you've been born, you're obviously born, you're physically here, but you haven't been born again. church is just an organization to you. It's a place to go to see people you know and love. Maybe it's time that you settle things with God and allow the Spirit of God to enter in to your heart and life, into your spirit, into your soul. And to just say, Lord, please, Almighty God, enter me and take control of me and forgive me and cleanse me. I believe you died to pay for me. And I accept that payment. Please, Lord, take control of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, let's say that maybe you're carnal, maybe you're a baby Christian, maybe you're still in the elemental things. I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me and say, Dear Lord, I'm a baby Christian. I haven't grown like I should. Please, Almighty God, fill me with your Spirit. Direct me and guide me. Give me a hunger and thirst for your word and to obey you and to listen to your voice. I love you, Lord, and I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation and give you an opportunity to respond to God this morning and do what he's instructing you to do. Just obey him. He'll bless you for it always in obeying him. Let's stand together and sing. I want to remind you again, we're still leaving the little feed trough from Christmas season. And if you still want to bring some of your gold, broken jewelry or jewelry that you're not wearing anymore, to present, it looks like we're going to be netting about $3,000 from what's been turned in so far. We can give the Lord a hand for that. Amen. And costume jewelry, we don't need. We had some costume jewelry turned in, and when we took it to different vendors, they weren't interested in that. So Wednesday night, I spoke to the Awana children on the Pearl of Great Price, and I let each of them pick some of that costume jewelry, and they took it home, so it did go to a good use, and they kind of were tugging over necklaces and different things, and it was a lot of fun. I can get these earrings for my mother and blah, 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 and all that, and so it did go to a good use Wednesday night as we shared that with them, and so we praise the Lord for that. So if you see some kid wearing your jewelry, that's what happened to it. So we had different vendors look at it, and so they sold it. We gave it to them, so praise the Lord. I love you. I appreciate your obedience. It's exciting what God's doing, and we're going to see some miraculous things happen in our midst, and praise God for it. God bless you. Go in peace. Obey the Spirit of God as he speaks to your heart this week. God bless. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you any.
neighbors can develop a system of fear from the systems. We should talk about how we're going to do it. We should talk about how we're going to do it.
Studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stewart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org, and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.